Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' 101-87 win over the Charlotte Hornets and the 5-0 road trip so far. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Ray, it is a perfect road trip so far for the Warriors. One more game to go as we speak here on Wednesday night, as they will play in Detroit on Friday. But some of these games on this road trip, they've had to come back. But you know, this game against Charlotte, they were in control early, and you know, the Hornets made a nice little comeback there. They were getting closer within, I think it was within seven there, with about 5 minutes to go. But this was pretty much the Kevin Durant show. 35 points and 11 rebounds, 10 assists, the triple-double. He really took over this game, and they needed him to, with the injuries, of course, of Steph Curry and Draymond Green being out, and Patrick McCaw as well, and Pachulia leaving the game. So a lot of injured Warriors in this one.
Yeah, they were down four players, basically, after Zaza got hurt. And you know, I don't think Draymond is going to be out too long. I don't think Zaza is going to be out too long. You hope not, because they've got a tough challenge at the end of the road trip with Detroit on Friday. But the thing with KD is he can play in the team concept, or if you want him to take over, he can do that too. And he was terrific, from the get-go in this game. And this is what you love about, you know, the whole acquisition of KD. And we talked about it at the time, that the Hamptons Five lured him west, is you have one of your elite scorers go down, you have another elite scorer. And so in that way, not a whole lot of drop-off for the Warriors. What really impressed me against Charlotte was their defensive effort, especially in the first half. And it took a late Kemba Walker run at the end of the first half to get Charlotte even close to 40 points. And they're not a great shooting team to begin with. But the Warriors played very well on defense, and I think, it's one of those things where it's all hands on deck. Everybody has to lock down when you're down that many players and that kind of quality player. But even then, you still have a pretty deep team.
They definitely do. You know what was different was watching Durant as a Warrior really distribute the basketball, because, I mean, that doesn't happen very often. Usually you got Steph Curry doing that. But he made a couple of bad passes, no doubt. He made some stupid passes. But overall, he was making some plays. And we know he could shoot. We know about his array of shots, and he was showing off that throughout the game, you know, the runners and the different kind of shots going to the basket. Of course, the threes, and he didn't shoot a great three percentage, but just the passes that he made, the plays that he made in this game were really terrific.
It's just an all-around great player that we're talking about here. So you get to see that even more, I think, on nights like this. One thing that Steve Kerr said post-game I thought was really interesting is that without Steph Curry in the lineup, they ran some more set plays, especially in half-court set, because a lot of they do with Curry is chaos, sort of going downhill, as Kerr put it, and kind of collapsing the defense and then getting guys open for three, or Steph sneaks around a screen and goes into the corner. But with Durant, you know, you can do a half-court set because there's hardly anybody in the league can guard him, right? When he's on, it's over.
Let's listen in to what Kevin Durant had to say after his big game against the Charlotte Hornets.
It's fun when you get to create and, just be creative out there, you know, whether it's, you know, passing to JaVale for a lob or shooting a pull-up jump shot, just, you know, all the stuff that you work on in those situations. Tonight it felt like I can go in my bag of tools, my bag of tricks to pull some stuff out. So I don't expect it to be like that every single game, but tonight I thought it called for it, and we set the tone early, and after that I didn't have to handle the ball as much after the first quarter.
That's Kevin Durant, back with more Dubs OT in just a moment.
In the late 90s, San Francisco celebrated the opening of Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street. Now, 20 years later, Rose's continues to provide a warm, friendly atmosphere, and you can still count on great food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's bakes all of their own pastries and breads. Open 7 days a week, they serve breakfast, lunch, dinner, and brunch on Saturday and Sunday. Check out their menu and hours online at rosescafesf.com. The next time you're driving to or from AT&T Park, stop by Rose's Cafe in Cow Hollow at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Klay Thompson, you know, when he gets it going, and there have been times this year where, you know, it's kind of been up and down, but he seems to sort of thrive on this situation when players are out. You know, he can get his open shots, his quick release, and he made some threes. He made some other baskets. I mean, he really saved him a lot, too, tonight as he was able to score 22.
Yeah, I love Klay's game against Charlotte, and I think he said it post-game, very efficient, and that's what he needed to be. They needed a little extra scoring punch from him, and they got some off the bench from Nick Young as well. So they got enough, right? How do you make up for losing Steph and Draymond and Zaza and all these guys and Bacaw? Not easy, especially with Steph and Draymond. But, you know, offensively they picked it up with Durant, you know, pretty much being the lead guy, and then Nick Young off the bench. Now, defensively, I thought everybody was pretty good tonight. But I want to single out Andre Iguodala in particular. And, you know, this was a night where he knew he had to really step it up, play extra minutes. And this is why you rest Andre at this juncture in his career, so that when you have games like this, he can bring full energy. And he certainly did against Charlotte. He's going to need it to do it again from time to time. But as guys start coming back, you know, there will be times where he's rested. I think the wisdom of that approach has been proven.
The thing I love about Andre's game is that a lot of it doesn't show up in the box score. I mean, a lot of it, you know, it's defense, it's effort. He makes plays. He also just, he comes up with loose balls. I mean, there are balls that you're going, okay, who's going to get it? He comes up with it. Or in the open floor, he's able to, you know, come up with an interception. It's just all these little things that, you know, some of them show up in the box score, but not all of them. And he's just so valuable to the team.
Well, there aren't many guys in the league that are better at the strip.
Yeah,
than Andre stripping the basketball. I should clarify, stripping the basketball.
Right,
you know, from an offensive player heading to the hoop, he is so good at that, and his timing is exquisite. And he's just, you know, a crafty guy. As Steve Kerr said post game, one of the smartest guys that you'll ever run around as far as basketball is concerned. The other part of his game that I don't think gets appreciated is when you're down a point guard, he can be that point guard. Now, often in this game against Charlotte, KD was running the point.
He was,
which is,
yeah,
another part of his amazing ability. But Andre can do that too. So having a guy like that coming off the bench who can run the offense and run it well and make the smart pass, and then in defense create a turnover and get out on the fast break and, you know, hit a three from time to time. And by the way, a big moment in the game late where he went pretty much coast to coast and went to the hoop and won. He can still do that. And, you know, people forget he's a pretty big guy for a guard, and he can get to the hoop. And the problem for him in the past is he's missed a lot of free throws. He was better at that last year, and so I think he was a little less shy about going to the hoop. He still has the ability to do that as well. So he just loves his all-around game, and I was all behind them re-signing him and bringing back the Hampton 5. Now, the Hampton 5 has not been as effective this year, but I have no doubt that'll change as the year goes on.
You know, you wondered going into this game when you knew that Curry was going to be out, who would start at point guard, and you thought Sean Livingston, but they decided that, you know what, we don't want him to play that many minutes. You know, he's kind of an older player, so let's start Quinn Cook. And I thought he held up pretty well. I think Quinn Cook is showing that he's an NBA player. I mean, he deserves to get NBA playing time, not just appear in Santa Cruz. And, you know, it's tough on this team for him to get that, but I think he's going to help them a lot when Steph Curry's out here.
Yeah, Quinn Cook's been tearing it up at Santa Cruz in the G League, and so he's earned his spot. And, you know, he got off to a shaky start against Charlotte, but played much better as the night went on. Railed a couple of threes, ended up with 8 points, three rebounds, and three assists as well, I believe. And that's what Steve Kerr did. He still wanted Sean coming off the bench in his more accustomed role. I think if they'd been a little healthier, maybe Livingston started at point guard tonight, but they figured he'd give Cook some minutes. And that's the beauty of this. When you're rolling 13, maybe 14 deep, you can make those kinds of decisions. And for Steve Kerr, with these injuries, again, it's about putting on the lab coat and finding different lineups and different combinations. And we saw some combinations tonight we haven't seen all year, and it worked.
Here's what Steve Kerr had to say after the game about Quinn Cook.
Quinn was fantastic. I knew Quinn would play well. He's an NBA player. He's played a lot of minutes for New Orleans last year, and we've watched him in practice and in the G League. I think Aaron Miles and his staff have done a great job down there. We got a lot of synergy between the franchises, and we run the same stuff, so Quinn knows all the plays, and it's an important addition, I think, to our franchises. Really developing that relationship between the two franchises, and being able to shuttle guys back and forth if we have to. And Quinn is really a good guy for that role.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. Back with more Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
You know what's exciting is watching block shots. I mean, I love it. This team had 12 blocks against Charlotte tonight. And, you know, three of them by Jordan Bell. He looks like he's on a pogo stick at times. And I think he's even learning more about his blocks, where you don't want to just block it into the stands. You want to keep it alive so that your team can, you know, get out of there and run on an outlet. So everybody kind of contributing. And they've got the size, but they've got the effort, really, to make those blocks.
Well, yeah, you get JaVale, who had a real good burst in this game. Didn't probably get the minutes he wanted to, but was as effective as he's been in a while. And Jordan Bell, definitely on a pogo stick. One time he got a block and he yelled out, "Not here!" So, yeah, he's shown his personality early in his NBA career, which I'm sure is something that the bench jokes about. But he's made his case, man. He's got to be out there. He's tremendously skilled. He's got to make mistakes. But you get another shot blocker in there. And, of course, Kevin Durant has been very good at that the last couple of years. So they've got rim protection galore.
Do you think Durant, maybe his attitude changed a little bit after that ejection the other day? I mean, he's been ejected from a couple of games here, and even seeing Livingston get ejected. I know they've been kind of emotional and bothered by officiating in games in recent times, and he got into it there with Boogie Cousins in that game against the Pelicans. But do you think maybe with some players out, he realizes, hey, I'm valuable. You know, I got to be careful. I can't get kicked out of any more games, especially if we're down some players.
Well, yeah, he's up there among the leaders in technicals, and he said it post-game, and Steve Kerr said it after the previous game, that this was going to be a point of emphasis, something he was going to talk about. You remember earlier in the season, Tom Izzo, Draymond Green's college coach at Michigan State, saying, stop whining so much.
Right.
Stop complaining so much. And Steve Kerr, that was what the message was going to be, is, to focus on the game. Don't get wrapped up in the officials. And Durant said it post-game that there were a couple of times where he was about ready to go off the rails because of officials' calls, but he channeled that negative or positive energy, whatever you want to call it, into answering with his play, and he did that beautifully. And that's the proper way to channel this stuff. In a long season, they're going to have their moments. We know that. A lot of these guys run pretty hot, especially Draymond and apparently KD. from time to time. Listen, you drop a 12-letter special on a referee, that's nighty-night. Or if you headbutt with a referee. Although in the case of Kirkland, he got suspended for a week, which I thought was pretty interesting with the Sean Livingston incident. But bottom line is, yeah, you know, stop focusing so much on the officials and the calls. You've got to say to yourself, all right, I'm going to take it out on the opponent, whatever anger I have. And, you know, there's the old saying that these calls even out. I don't know if anybody's ever actually logged that. That's just a philosophy, right? That's just what people say. It's a bromide. I don't know if it really does even out. It might be a little bit to one side or the other, depending on what team you're on. But you just can't get wrapped up in that.
No. You know, I wonder if a precedent was set with the whole Livingston suspension and Kirkland, because, you know, now you got to think about it. If you're an official, you can't, you know, go after the player as well. You got to, you know, kind of back away. I mean, that happened with umpires in baseball too, where they were inciting players a little bit. I think they got a talking to, and
you know,
I wonder
if, Hernandez.
yeah, exactly. I wonder if that's, you know, this is sort of a precedent to be set here for officials. Hey, you know, back out of the way. Don't incite a situation.
I'm sure it is, you know, especially when you have something like that happen and everybody's got a close-up shot. Whoever took the photo at the sideline, by the way, is a great shot of Livingston.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, forehead to forehead and Sean screaming at him. I think he was upset at a no call. But, yeah, just like the players who run hotter than others, there are officials who run hotter than others. I mean, we remember Joey Crawford. He had to go through anger management. And,
right.
You know, he's a really good referee, and he was one of those guys who didn't get intimidated by the home crowd. He'd call it the way he saw it, but sometimes I think he kind of felt like they were here for him, you know. And so he had to channel some of that anger. And, you know, he admitted he had a problem. And I think in the last few years of his officiating career, he was really good, and he really did tone down. I think the knee eventually got him. But, you know, there are those officials. Warriors fans like to beat up on Scott Foster. And, you know, he can have a short fuse, but I think he's actually been pretty fair in officiating the Warriors the last few years. Didn't we talk about this with Mike Breen?
We did. Yeah, we did. It's coming up again. Yeah.
Yeah. How more and more players are woofing at the referees again. The 5 years ago, there was a big point of evidence. Don't talk back. Well, you know, water seeks its own level, I guess, and human nature takes over, and we're kind of back to where we were before that edict.
Only I didn't bring up the movie Forget Paris. I don't know if you saw that with Billy Crystal, and he was the official throwing everybody out of the game left and right. You know, that's what they need to avoid.
Yeah, Kareem, it's my farewell tour.
Right, that's what it was. Right, exactly. You know, what do you think about this combination of players they have in Charlotte? Because they've got a bunch of guys. I think it was Bob Fitzgerald mentioned 8 lottery picks that are on this team. I mean, they could be good, but I don't know how they really mesh together.
You're pretty good at home, 8-3 going into the game tonight. But, yeah, I mean, they don't have a lot of great shooters, as we said earlier. They've got some pretty skilled players, some good athletes. They're fairly good defensively, I believe, against the opponent's field goal percentage. But, yeah, I don't know how this works, you know, for them on a consistent basis. I heard it'd be a stat in this game that they had to get to 102 points to win. Well, they're not doing that much because they're 9-14. And they didn't do that against the Warriors, not even close. So I think there are going to be nights where baskets are going to be left wanting with this team. You know, Kemba can get on a heater. We saw that in the second quarter that got the Hornets back into the game. But I don't know if they have too many reliable shooter types who can really do that on a consistent basis. I mean, you look at the shooters the Warriors have compared to Charlotte, it's not even close.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation in just a moment.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family, and they offer a nationwide warranty backed by the strength of the Goodyear Tire and Service Network. And unlike watching close Warriors games, going to Toscalito equals a stress-free life. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
How about the Detroit Pistons? Now, they've beaten the Warriors. They're going to play the Warriors without Steph Curry. Warriors are trying to have the perfect road trip. But the Pistons, all of a sudden, they're not playing very well. They just lost to the Bucks. I think they've lost four games in a row. So they're just, they're not playing all that well. So it kind of makes for an intriguing matchup, I guess, right?
Well, they want them. You know that they want the Pistons after they lost to them at home. Maybe don't commit 26 turnovers. I think that was converted into 33 points, even though the Warriors shot 57%, I want to say, in that game. It was a really odd game in that way, and they let it get away late. So I think that one kind of burns in their memory, and they want to make up for that, and they want to come home with a perfect road trip. And we talked about this last week on the podcast. There was a great possibility that they could run the table on this road trip, that they were going to have some focus after the Lakers game and after Sacramento. I think that kind of kicked into gear, and they played really well defensively in a couple of games. And the latest against Charlotte. I think you're going to see that focus and maybe a little bit healthier squad Friday against Detroit and try to cap off this road trip at 6-0, knowing that after that, they come home and they don't leave the state of California until after the new year. They got one game in L.A. on December 18th. Otherwise, I think it's 9 home games.
So, it is. Yeah, 9 out of 10 at home. That's a crazy schedule.
Yeah. I think they've played more road games than anybody in the NBA so far this year, so that's going to be a makeup there to get him back on an even keel. So they know they win this game, and there aren't that many 6-0 road trips in NBA history. The Warriors have had one or two, I believe, in the last few years. So to do that, to get revenge on Detroit, to have the happy flight home, and knowing that you're going to get a lot of time over the holidays at home, I think is a huge incentive for them. And, you know, maybe we'll see Draymond and Zaza.
True. But we won't see Steph Curry for a while. And I went back and watched that injury, Ray, I watched it a couple times just to see, you know, what I thought. I mean, of course, you know, he had the x-rays and everything, and it's not as serious as maybe they thought, but, oh, you just wince when you watch it. It's just so ugly to see his ankle turn like that. It makes me think that, 2 weeks, but it might be a little bit longer than that. They might be, you know, might want to be careful. You know, they can err on the side of caution here. It might be more like 3 weeks. What do you think?
Oh, I think so. When you talk about not looking at it for a couple of weeks, you're probably looking at 3 or 4 weeks. Maybe he comes back for the Cleveland game on Christmas Day. I think that's going to be a stretch in and of itself. But, you know, if the recovery goes well, that might happen. But I think you have to plan for being out the entire month and hope it goes a little bit sooner than that with these type of ankle injuries. And it reminded me of the ankle injuries he'd have early in his career. And, you know, these kind of injuries happen more often, by the way, on second nights of back-to-back. That's something the NBA is going to have to continue to address if they want healthier pro players. But with Steph, we've seen this injury before, regardless of the schedule, earlier in his career. And I'd have to say, low-key, most valuable players in the Warriors' ascent, Steph Curry's ankles. Because the doubt about those ankles led to a very team-friendly contract, which some fell at the time was a risk at 4 years and $44 million because he wasn't staying healthy. And turns out that allowed them the room to get Kevin Durant last year and a couple of other players as well. And, you know, since that contract was signed, he's actually been a pretty durable player. Now, of course, in 16, he had those injuries, a couple of them that really slowed him down in the postseason. But by and large, he's been out there. Except for games, a lot of these games, of course, Steve Kerr has rested him late in the season, so or at least a few of them. I wouldn't say a lot of them. So he's been a durable guy. And again, you've got Kevin Durant. You can get through this, and I think they're going to be fine. And, you know, I think subconsciously maybe Steve Kerr is saying, all right, get your rest, you know.
Yeah.
And I'll go with these guys, and it'll be okay. You'd rather he get his rest a more conventional way, but that's what you got to deal with. And, again, they're going to be okay because of the great depth they have.
Yeah, I guess the thing that scares you, anybody who played basketball, you sprain an ankle, it seems like it comes back and happens again, maybe in a minor way later on. But it's usually kind of fluky, too. You know, even that injury, it was fluky. He was coming out defensively. He steps on the foot of the offensive player, and it just turns. And that's the thing. I mean, this is kind of – it could be something that nags him all year.
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's why – you need to take all the time you can now, make sure it's stable. And, yeah, something fluky could happen later in the year. And, you know, I look also, for example, at Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs last year. He already had a bulky foot and ankle to begin with, and then Zaza Pachulia and all that controversy happened. My argument was something else would have happened Kawhi sooner or later because he was not playing on a healthy ankle or a healthy foot. So with Steph, you've got to make sure that it's 100% or very close to that. There's no need to rush him back and make sure he's good to go for the stretch run into April and May in the playoffs.
To finish up, you know, I was looking at the road records of the top teams in the NBA. The Warriors are 12-3 now on the road. The Rockets are 10-1. The Celtics are 10-2. I mean, these teams play so well on the road. I mean, you're supposed to have a tough time on the road, but the Warriors, even without Steph Curry and Draymond Green, they were favored to win in Charlotte. So it's just, you know, the expectations are always so high, but even on the road, which is pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes, as we said before, they play better on the road. That hasn't been the case necessarily this year, but it certainly has been in this road trip. They can really focus on these long road trips especially. And, again, capping off with Detroit, it could be a 6-0 trip. Houston's been playing at a very high level, and one of the things you look at in Houston that might surprise people is how well they rank in defensive efficiency on top of everything else. So they're a real threat this year. I still favor the Warriors any time in a series. And, you know, they don't hold parades for off-season acquisitions. They don't hold parades for who's playing well in December. And the Warriors know that. So they're gonna run up to this. And you know, they're going to see Houston again. And they want to get revenge for the opening night loss. We were there, and it was kind of stunning at the end how the Warriors let that one slip away, too. So that's burning in their memory as well. They usually atone for all of these mistakes eventually. And I still believe that when it's all said and done, the Warriors will edge out the Rockets for the top seed in the West.
I agree with you. Next game against the Rockets is at Houston on January 4th. So mark it down on the calendar.
Woo!
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's going to be the best. Well, I'll go down a limb here, Joe. That's going to be the best game of the new year, 4 days in. Of course it will.
That's right. Yeah. All right, Ray. Thanks a lot, and talk to you next week.
All right. Real good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.